The Hunter Museum of American Art is hosting an exhibit of American Impressionism featuring the influence of Claude Monet on American artists. The temporary exhibit will be on display until September 20th. I toured the exhibit with the museum's chief curator. The first American Impressionists learned their style directly from Monet and added his influence to their own unique style. Nandini Mukherjee gave me a personal tour of the exhibit, and I was surprised to find the four Monet paintings scattered among works of other artists.
The whole point of the exhibit is to show his influence on American artists and how they help spread Impressionism in this country. We've placed the four around the gallery so you discover them among the others. It gives you a chance to really see the work in context, how they learned from their teacher, how they passed it on to each other and to other students, and how it spread around the country.
We're looking at a series of paintings that all fall within a certain time period. What are the years that we're predominantly looking at in the American Impressionism section?
The exhibit is primarily 1887 to 1920. A couple of the Monet pieces might be a little bit earlier. He established himself in Giverny in 1883. The American artists are 1887 to 1920.
The very first one that you see is called French Tea Garden or Terracotta Tea Set. You have a woman that looks like she's doing embroidery even with a thimble on her finger as she's sitting in a lovely garden, basically enjoying her tea. Can you tell us who did this and why you chose this for the first painting that you see?
This is by an artist who is often called the American Monet. His name is Child Hassam. This is actually one of the Hunter's own pieces. It has been on tour with this exhibit for the last 6 months, and it just came home for its brief 3 months here. And I also wanted to show how Child Hassam, who is so well known for his Impressionist works, compares to Monet, so I thought it was a good introductory piece to the exhibit.
As we walk around the corner and start to see so many gold-gilded frames full of colorful works, they're broken up into sections. What will we see first?
The first section is called The Allure of Giverny. Monet had a home there and a garden where he painted. People followed him there. It was north of Paris in the Normandy region of France. And so the first section is a painting by him and his earliest American disciples. In the section you have Theodore Robinson, who emulated Monet's style pretty closely but used his own subjects that he was interested in. Leela Cabot Perry, one of the few female artists featured in the exhibition, two lovely paintings by her. And also in this section you have Theodore Earle Butler, who ended up marrying one of Monet's stepdaughters and establishing a relationship with him in that manner.
So the Americans would go and study with Monet and then come back to America and paint?
They did. They would paint there. They would bring back these ideas to America. Eventually, they went on to set up their own colonies here in the Northeast at Old Lyme in Connecticut, in New Hampshire, in Massachusetts. So some people went to Paris and Giverny to learn from French Impressionists, and some learned from the people who went. So there's a first wave of American Impressionists, and then there's a second wave, or second generation.
What kind of time frame are we talking between the first wave and the second?
I'd say mid to late 1880s was the first wave, and then the second wave was early 1900.
The first Monet you actually see, it's breathtaking. It's a lovely field and a sky full of depth that you wouldn't think you could get on a flat canvas.
This is called Oatfield. It comes from the Harn Museum in Florida, who are the organizers of the exhibition. It features this beautiful red field of poppies, orange-red, and a lovely pinkish-blue sky, and then purple and burgundy shadows. There's wonderful texture. There's so much depth to the piece. It's really illuminated.
The texture with the paint is one of the trademarks that kind of set Monet apart.
Yes, the Impressionists, including Monet, were all about a loose brushstroke, as we call it in art, where you're breaking up the brushstroke. So instead of trying to paint an object three-dimensionally by perfectly blending it in and shading and using proper perspective, which is how, you know, you're traditionally taught to do, the Impressionists were interested in how light falls on an object and trying to paint the colors that that light produces. You see a broken brushstroke, you see a lot of color, and you see a lot of interesting effects of light, because that's what they were really interested in.
Rounding the corner, we're coming into areas that are a little little bit more realistic than some of the others. And this beautiful pale blue works of a woman who has obviously experienced the South by the fan on her face.
She's laying in a hammock. There's a lot of dappled sunlight highlighting her features. There's a child and probably a nursemaid by their side, and she's relaxing with her tea as well.
We have a lot of scenes that are gardens and include water elements, which of course Monet is very famous for some of his water elements.
He liked to paint the garden at Giverny. He had a water garden there with water lilies, which are among the most famous paintings I'm sure people have seen. One of the things that happened at this time period, at the turn of the century, was that paint became available in tubes. Imagine at that time, you couldn't go out and paint in the countryside unless you were using watercolors or you were sketching with dry things like pencils or charcoal. And now you can take your paint with you, and it's not watercolor, it's what you like to paint within the studio, and suddenly you can capture things spontaneously and get the impression that you want right there. By the time you bring a sketch back and redo it in the studio, it loses its spontaneity sometimes. It loses the initial impact it had on you. So that change allowed people to go and they painted brooks and they painted gardens and waterfalls. And, you know, you see a lot of those in this exhibit. That was definitely a favorite topic for Impressionists.
We're going to move on to what is the second phase. Is this your country retreat?
As you leave Giverny, you come to the American countryside. These are some of those artists, more of the second generation. They learned from the first generation of artists who studied at Giverny, and then they came back and had these colonies in America. A lot of these scenes are of cliffs and the ocean and people swimming and enjoying themselves, but in the style of the French Impressionists.
This one who has a bather in a pool of water, you can see the water is very clear. And the rock face immediately beside the pool from a distance almost looks three-dimensional.
It does. And that was one of the things the American Impressionists excelled at. The French Impressionists would break things down to the point where they were really just interested in placing dabs of color next to each other. The American Impressionists did that, but they never really lost their interest in solid form. So a lot of their paintings still contain that object that they were interested in painting, but they're embracing the other interests of the French Impressionists as well.
And we continue with the country retreat, and now we're looking at waves, and we're looking at snow, and different seasons, but still with the same, sometimes almost frantic brushstrokes, and sometimes almost looking at a photograph.
One of the things about American Impressionism is that every artist had his or her own style. They stuck to some of the ideas that came from the French, you know, the color, the light, the way the paint is applied, the interest in paint texture. They never let go of their own style in the process of adapting to a new one.
And now we're going for the comforts of home.
This is our domestic section and features mostly images of women in interior settings, relaxing, sometimes with their daughters, sometimes having tea. There's another section in the exhibit that's called The Vibrance of Urbanism. So it's all about the bustle of the city. So these are the two contrasting sections, showing the home and then what's going on outside the home.
This is called The Red Kimono, again, an American artist. Obviously, the focus is his wife's kimono. Brilliant red and blues and yellows and greens and just a splash of colors. And then the background he's chosen is almost dull in comparison.
Well, this is an amazing painting because you first start with the red kimono and then you look at her expression and then you look at this grid behind her, which is a window that looks out onto a snow scene, perhaps. The snow scene is not painted just in white. It has golds and oranges and blues and purples again. And then there's a birdcage that's empty, and there's blooming narcissus plants. There's a bird also sitting on the edge of the plant there. Is she like Narcissus, looking at her own reflection? Is she caught in a cage because the cage is empty, but she looks sort of trapped with that window behind her? It's lovely painting, though, and, you know, whatever the story is that you might imagine with it, she may just be simply in thought. French artists and then American artists were very interested in Japanese objects that were flooding the marketplace at the turn of the century, and they had adopted a lot of Japanese ideas into their art, and one of the ways they did this was simply by adopting the costumes and using them in their artwork.
My tour continued through the rest of the gallery, viewing stunning works by Monet and American Impressionists. But there isn't time to share them all here. The temporary exhibit will be at the Hunter Museum of American Art through September 20th and is available for viewing with a regular museum admission. You can also see the exhibit free on the first free Sunday, July 5th from noon to 4:30. For WUTC's Around and About, this is Rabbit.